Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to another in-season edition of USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I'm joined today by the co-defensive coordinator, defensive backs, and co-recruiting coordinator of St. Francis University, 2016 NAIA National Champions, Joey Didier. Joey, it's great to have you back on the podcast again.
Hey, thank you for having me. I always enjoy talking to you guys.
Coach, let's talk about some things that affect, you know, a team in season. And looking at a defense, you know, let's talk about how you take that defense from camp where you're focused on just getting things installed and you're probably putting in a large menu of things that you might use through the year and breaking that down into a week-to-week menu.
Yeah, so what we do is we really challenge our players during camp. They have a pretty rigorous installation. We will install probably about 85 to 90% of what we project and need throughout the season. We'll pre-plan, not by opponent, but what we call toolbox. So we'll take, you know, let's just say, for example, in our league, we see a lot of 11 personnel teams. We see a couple 21 personnel teams. We see a couple 10 personnel teams. As opposed to pre-planning for 10 individual regular season opponents, we will pre-plan a menu of items that we feel that we need against 10 personnel teams, a menu of items that we need against 11 personnel teams, 12 personnel teams, et cetera. During preseason camp, not only are you know it's unique because you're going against your offense, which usually does not mirror everything you see in season, we will make sure that we set aside a practice period, a day, to address a particular personnel package. The two co-coordinators, myself and Coach Eric Wagner, we will tally a toolbox list of what we like, per se, against 10 personnel, what fronts we like, what pressures, what pressure checks are needed, what coverages we like. We'll keep that list, and then when we are going back to scout the opponent, you know, do the huddle reports, the D&D tendencies, the personnel tendencies, the formation tendencies, we will base our menu for that opponent upon the preseason toolbox menu. So everything that should show up in a game plan is something that a kid has ran before. I mean, we're not going to go from, you know, being a zone pressure team to a man pressure team at the drop of a hat. We're going to find the zone pressures that we like, per se, against a 10 personnel team and streamline that menu. With that, nothing ever stays the same in our business. So we've moved in a week-by-week basis from more of a tag system as opposed to creating an entire new front, an entire new coverage, an entire new blitz package. So say, for example, a team tips something off by back set. There may be a back set tag to a blitz that was added. Say there's, you know, a stud receiver. There may be a coverage, you know, like awareness tag where a particular coverage may rotate towards that player away from a player so that we're really not reinventing the menu on a week-by-week basis.
And that's always a good strategy for a coach to make sure you're not reinventing things, that, you know, it is something that's easy for your players, obviously, to learn and for them to evolve over the course of the season as well.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And honestly, that's an area of growth that we had as a staff. My first couple years as a co-coordinator, I'm not going to lie, we got a little creative with the pencil. And with that, there was some inconsistency in the techniques that a kid would play on Saturday because, you know, call it what it is, a game plan, you really only have maybe an hour of work throughout a week in terms of, you know, individual sessions and seven-on-seven sessions, et cetera, to really get technical aspects of the game mastered and tweaked. So you can't really change, you know, what you're doing on a week by week basis.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about the co-coordinator role. That seems to be a trend in today's game, whether that's the offensive side or the defensive side. It hasn't crept into special teams yet, though a lot of special teams get split up. So how do you handle a co-coordinator role, first of all, in as far as calling everything on game day?
Yeah, we absolutely love the co-coordinating responsibilities here. You know, at first, I mean, everybody wants to be top dog. Everyone wants to be in charge. But when we really looked at it, especially at the small college level where you don't have as many support staffs and graduate assistants and people to assist you throughout game week, we basically created a system where myself, I'm in charge of, you know, our blitz cover-up menu and all of our coverage preparation throughout a week. And then Coach Wagner is in charge of our run defense preparation, any front adjustments, and how we're attacking the quarterback. So we can get a little bit more specific, almost to the, you know, the point of a larger program in terms of what we want to prepare. In terms of calling the game, it really is what those two coordinators do throughout the week. We're really down to the point where by a situation, there's maybe a debate on two or three calls given a particular situation, as opposed to looking at an entire menu of a defense per se on third and three. Those things are pre-scripted, pre-planned, pre-discussed. Honestly, if there's ever any arguing, it's in a meeting throughout the course of the week when we're talking about how we want to handle specific situations. And we get past all of those things. So when we're in front of our team on Saturdays, it's a unified front. And we actually both co-coordinate from the field. Coach Wagner is involved in special teams. And I want to have the opportunity to be able to sit down and look at our defensive backs in the eye between each possession. And it's ran like clockwork for us for now four seasons.
What would you say is the key to making that transition or implementing two coordinators, a co-coordinator system?
First thing, it has to start with trust on both coordinators' ends. Eric Wagner and I were teammates. We coached together under a single coordinating system when we were assistants. We branched out. We both coached elsewhere, came back. So we have ultimate respect for one another. And we have created, there's no gray areas. There's black and white in terms of the decision-making process. For example, Coach Wagner gets all first and 10 primary calls. We feel first and 10, we need to stop the run first. No matter if it's a 10, 11, 12 personnel team, we want to be run-based oriented on early down. So he will give, you know, the front call, the pressure call, and then I know how many players I have available in coverage that we need to cover up that pressure, that stunt. Then we move into second down, and we will base that pre-planned by game plan on someone's D&D if it becomes a pass tendency down or a run tendency down in terms of who gets first call. Now we move ourselves into third downs, and then I will take all conversion downs, and then I will give the cover, how many players we need in coverage, what type of coverage we're playing, and then Coach Wagner knows how to configure essentially the five or six players we have in the box. It works for us because we're a 4-2-5 system, and we try to, we run a lot of split field things. We run a lot of, I guess you'd call it split system things where you got six players in the box floating, and then you have five players on the perimeter adjusting to any set. So since we have pre-planned all of these things, there isn't any indecision on Saturday. There's no he said, she said on Saturday. It's, okay. First and 10, it's my job to back it up. Okay, now it's third and four, it's my job to give the primary call or to get the sub package on the field that needs done.
Yeah, it occurs to me that when you have that type of system, it knowing that, hey, maybe my responsibility is this third down call, you have a little bit more time, I guess, to prepare for that, where the other guy who's just doing it on his own has about 15 seconds, really, or less, to get that call into the game. So it does give you a little bit of time, I think, to make sure it's the right call and it's what you want to do for the situation.
You're absolutely right. So, I can take a little bit of a breather, so to speak, and gather my thoughts so that the call is not as rushed. The same thing's true during the preparation that week. I'll spend more time watching third down cuts than I'll spend watching first down cuts because that's my game calling responsibility. On the same token of things, Coach Wagner will spend more time watching goal line and red zone cuts because that's his area of responsibility. So we've really been able to hone in on where we need to call. At the same point in time, though, you have to have awareness of what the other end is doing. It's not like either one of us are taking plays off and, you know, shutting our eyes on the other down. But then we have an opportunity on that opposite down to look at our call sheet, self-scout some things, mark some things that are working, mark some things that need tweaked, and really be able to navigate a football game together.
Yeah, it sounds like a great method. It's definitely something when this offseason hits, an area where I'd like to study a little bit and be able to give coaches some more ideas about that. So thanks for sharing that. Coach, let's talk about managing the season. You guys are coming off a season where you played all the way through to the national championship. Regardless of a run in the playoffs and going all the way to a championship game, that the season does feel long. You've been doing it, since the summer. Some teams had spring ball, some teams had summer ball as well. There's a lot of things you have to manage over the course of the season, like the expectations and emotions. So how do you do that? How do you keep a team, I guess, at the right spot and peaking at the right time?
Yeah, so the biggest thing that we preach at St. Francis is that there's phases of the season, there's phases of the week, and you have to stay in that phase. You essentially have to stay in the now. For example, it's important to prepare for game one than it is before you prepare for game two. It's important to stay the course and to not look past an opponent that may be not preseason ranked because you've got, the number five or number six 3 weeks down the road. So what we've implemented to keep things fresh, keep things also consistent, James Betcher, he's the defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals. He's an alum of the university. He's close with our defensive staff. He implemented with his defense a system he calls the news, and we call it the same thing, and it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's what you see in the news. You see the good news, you see the bad news, you see the ugly news. And we do that every week with our defense, every Sunday, to address the state of where we're at. And we are completely open and honest with our defensive players. How well are we performing? What is the next goal? The next goal may be better effort in Tuesday's practice. The next goal may be better preparation and focus in game week watching film. The next goal may be we just got through a grind of a 90-play ball game and our bodies need some rest. Those things need addressed as an entire defense. So every Sunday evening after watching game film from the previous game, we'll address and give our defense a theme for the next week. With that, we feel that it's necessary in a co-coordinating system that we have the entire defense at this meeting with Coach Wagner and I in front of our defense because it's a unified front. It is not, what's most important for the guys in the box or most important for the guys in coverage or most important for the guys in the middle. It's what's most important for our defense. With that, we'll pick out maybe one or two matchups, one or two personal challenges for some of our veterans to heighten the intensity of that week. We may be playing a team that may be termed as a cupcake, but they may have a stud receiver, so it's a big challenge to our field corner that he's got to be on his game because the other 55 guys in the room are counting on him. And the second we talk about it in that realm around their peers, there's automatically that heightened focus because the players in the room, they want to appease their peers much more than they want to appease their coaches. Same thing's true with film review. We'll watch some things in front of the entire defense, and we'll call out a veteran or a star for poor effort right in front of his peers so that everybody knows and that the third-string safety knows he's held accountable to the same principles as the first-string safety. So how we manage that 10-minute meeting every Sunday has really been the secret to our success defensively and how we've navigated, a 13-game season in 2016 and then a 14-game season this past year.
Coach, those are some great ideas for, maintaining expectations during the season. I really like that good, bad, and the ugly. Certainly, it's about accountability, and you guys obviously are doing things right. So as you look at all the things you guys do, what would be the one thing you'd say that you do in season that gives your team the winning edge on game day?
I'd say two things. For us, everything is personnel driven. It is driven by our players and for our players. Coach Donnelly is extremely adamant that it is a players first mentality in terms of what is best for them. So when we're looking at things to carry into a game week, it's more about what our players can execute as opposed to putting a kid in the position where he cannot be successful. We may have to scrap a call. We may have to scrap a coverage. We may have to scrap a check because we don't put a kid in the right position to succeed. And that is what it is. We may have to, in an offseason, make big changes to a system because of the people that we have. Everything is people-oriented. And the big message to Coach D, to the team, and for Coach Wagner and ourselves to our defense is that the pregame speech, the day of the game, the pregame warmups, all that's going to do is manage snap number one. Everything that you do Monday through Friday is going to manage snap number two through snap 70. So when you see us on game day, you won't see a team running out with fire and brimstone and smoke coming out of our ears and smoke coming out of our noses and, bum rush in the field. You will see a focused team. You'll see a team that understands exactly what their role is, and you'll see players that understand where their role is important to the team and where they don't need to cross over. An offensive tackle can't catch a football on, third and seven. A defensive end can't cover number two on third and six. So everyone taking care of their responsibility and staying the course in that regard.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time here during the season to join us on the podcast. It's certainly good to talk football with you again. Best of luck to you and the Cougars as you are in pursuit of another national championship.
Thank you so much. Been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.